Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. This is reading of God's word. Then I saw, then the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, "Come." I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. When he broke the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come." And another, a red horse, went out. And to him who sat on it, it was granted to take peace from the earth, and that men would slay one another. And a great sword was given to him. When he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, "Come." I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard something like a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not damage the oil and the wine." When the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come." I looked, and behold, an ancient horse, and he who sat on it had the name Death, and Hades was following with him. Authority was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by the wild beasts of the earth. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. Oh Father, we are so thirsty and so hungry for your word. Oh Father, we pray that as we hear your word, according to your promises, let us be more and more like your Son. Let our faith grow, and with that faith, let us stand firm on your word. Oh Father, let us love you more. Let us be like you more and more. And Father, once again, reveal yourself. Reveal what you have done for us through your word. And let us rejoice because the salvation, your salvation for us, is now complete and perfect in Jesus Christ. Oh Father, we pray that you will receive all the glory, even as we preach and hear your word. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Through his death and resurrection, he has conquered all of his and our enemies. And as the victorious king, he sits on the throne and now reigns and governs all. He is in complete charge over all history, and he carries out and fulfills and consummates all exactly according to the will of God. He is the one who reveals and carries out all of God's plan. God's plan of salvation and judgment. Yes, if we look at the world with physical eyes, somebody might even say that God is no more, that there is no God. They will question, if there is God, then what's going on? Why all these bad things happen if there is God? Only with your physical eyes, when you look at this world, one might even say, if there is God, then certainly God doesn't know what He is doing. But God gives you the answer. He shows you through His Word. Yes, it is only in the Bible that you will know the truth. Nowhere else you will find the truth. And the Bible clearly shows us that our Lord Jesus Christ, the victorious King, is in control. And He is the only worthy person who is able to reveal and consummate the plans of God. So now we see in our text, Jesus Christ breaking seals and carries out God's plan of salvation and judgment. Verse 1 says, "Then I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, 'Come!' One of the four living creatures," he says, "with a voice of thunder." When you read chapter 6, verse 6, "And I heard something like a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, 'Come.'" And if we go back to chapter 4, verse 5, "Out from the throne come flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder." So if you put all these things together, we are able to conclude that it is God Himself is commanding through the four living creatures. Even though here in this verse, you see four living creatures. One of the four living creatures says, commands to come, but we could safely say that ultimately it is God who is commanding. He is commanding through the four living creatures. Always remember, He is in control. He is in charge. We now see the breaking of seven seals. Act of breaking the seals. What does this show? Breaking seals is revealing and carrying out the plan of God. So when He breaks seal in heaven, something happens in the world. So it is revealing and carrying out the plan of God. From chapter 6, verse 1, all the way to chapter 8, verse 5, seven seals covers the period or the history between Jesus' first coming and the second coming. So these seven seals, breaking of these seven seals, covers the period between the first coming and the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Seven trumpets covers the same period. Seven bowls covers the same period. And like I said before, you will look at the seven seals or seven trumpets or seven bowls as a summation of things that happens in the world. The similar events happen in the world many, many times. You will look at one seal as the summation of all those similar events put together. So, the book of Revelation deals with this period, church period, seven times. But it would look at that same period in terms of seven seals and seven trumpets and seven bowls. All judgments of God. So from that, we will see that this judgment period is pretty long. So remember, that is very important that these seven seals cover the history between the first coming and the second coming, between history between heaven being accomplished spiritually and heaven being completely consummated visibly. It covers the progress of history from the inauguration of heaven spiritually to the visible consummation of heaven. And that is what we are seeing through seven seals and seven trumpets and seven bowls, all showing us the same period of time from different angles or different perspectives. And if you read the gospel, you already seen these things from the gospel, like Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, Luke chapter 21. And it is so easy to see that the first four seals form a unit. If you read seven seals, the first four automatically forms a unit. All four seals deal with sending out a horse. That is why we are looking at first four seals together. Four horses are sent out into this world. And it reminds us, when we see this, four horses going out to the world, it reminds us of Zechariah chapter 6. Those of you who study Zechariah with me, that you already know that in Zechariah chapter 6, we see horses going out there too. Well, let us go there and read a few verses there. Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah chapter 6, I'm going to read from verse 1. Now I lifted up my eyes again and looked, and behold, four chariots were coming forth from between the two mountains, and the mountains were bronze mountains. And remember that the mountain shows the throne of God. And from there, here, four chariots. But chariots are pulled by horses. Verse 2, with the first chariot were red horses. With the second chariot, black horses. With the third chariot, white horses. And with the fourth chariot, strong dappled horses. Then I spoke and said to the angel who was speaking with me, "What are these, my Lord?" The angel replied to me, "These are the four spirits of heaven going forth after standing before the Lord of all the earth." So you have this image. They were standing before the Lord, and God's command was given to them, and they now go out into the world to carry out God's command. Verse 6, with one of which the black horses are going forth to the north country, and the white ones go forth after them, while the dappled ones go forth to the south country. When the strong ones went out, they were eager to go to patrol the earth, and he said, "Go patrol the earth." So they patrolled the earth. Then he cried out to me and spoke to me, saying, See, those who are going to the land of the north have appeased my wrath in the land of the north. So from this you could see that these horses are going out to the world, everywhere in the world, north, south, every direction. What are they doing? They're appeasing the wrath of God. They're judging the world, bringing judgments to the world. And the same thing is happening here. It shows the judgment of God that is being poured out to the world. But in Zechariah, in the context of Old Testament, the judgment of God is being poured out unto the nations that have attacked the Israel. But that's Old Testament context, but here is the whole world. We must keep this in mind as we read our text. Every time a seal is broken, a horse and the rider is sent out. White, red, black, and Asian, or a pale horse. In Zechariah, red, black, white, and a strong dappled horse. These horses and the riders represent the agents that God uses to bring the judgment upon the world. They are the symbol of the agents that God uses. Yes, our Lord even uses evil agents, like world leaders, to bring the completion to his plans. Now all the things that happens, God is in complete control. Jesus is the victorious king in chapter 5. Then the question, like we said before, if he is the victorious king, then why is the world how it is? The seven seals give the answer to that question. You see, our victorious king is judging the world even now. He judged the world, and he is judging the world, and he will completely and perfectly judge the world. Do you remember what we have said before? Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of his return. And also remember that the judgment of this world is also at the same time the salvation of his people. This was always the case when we look at the Old Testament. Noah's flood. Noah's family being saved is at the same time is judgment of the world. It happens at the same time. Crossing the Red Sea, salvation of Israelites is the judgment of Egyptians. And that is how the final judgment is going to be also. When Jesus returns, our salvation will be consummated perfectly, but at the same time, it is the judgment of the world. Now, that final event is stretched out, if you will. Now, in our experience, almost now more than 2,000 years, and I don't know how long it's going to go, but if you could just put in, you know, somehow that stretched out period, if you could put all that into one event, it is God judging and it is God saving. And that's what is happening. Even right now. Judgment of this world is the salvation of his people. And that is what we are seeing through the seven seals. We are invited to see history in the perspective of God, in the perspective of heaven. His final judgment has begun. Yet it is not yet the final judgment. His final salvation of his people has begun. Yet it is not yet the final consummation of all things. You are living in the time when God's judgment is being poured out upon this world. You are living in time when God is saving his people from this world. Let's think about Noah. How do you think he lived during the first part of those 40 days when the judgment of God is being poured out? He had to endure, he had to experience the 40 days of rain, 40 days of flood. But remember that during that 40 days for Noah, it is his salvation. You have to understand this concept. 40 days, flood. For non-Christians, that 40 days was 40 days of God's judgment. But for Noah and his family, that 40 days were 40 days of God saving them. Do you see that? And that is what is happening even now. As God judges this world, he is also saving his people. But that will all consummate at the end. The final judgment will come, and final consummation will also come. But until then, it continuously happen that God is judging, God is saving. Yes. Even today, I don't know. For example, if there was an earthquake somewhere, God's people maybe got under the building and died. But that is his salvation. He ended up in heaven. And that will continually happen until that final judgment and that final consummation. This is what is really happening, brothers and sisters. See, you are so used to look at history and look at what's going on in the perspective of this sinful world. But the Bible shows the perspective of God. What is God doing? To God, what is all this all about? Well, he is judging the world and he's saving his people. Simply, that's what is happening. That is why this is so amazing. And I absolutely understand why non-believers will laugh at this. Because this is how God works. Just cannot accept what God is doing if you have heart of this world. Because it's foolishness. Completely foolishness. But you will see when he returns, when everything will be visible, that the Bible is telling us the truth. I don't know how I could convince you, and I don't have ability to do that, but I pray that Holy Spirit will clearly make you understand what he's talking about here. You've got to have God's perspective. Otherwise, you're going to waste so much because you think it's about certain things. Your life is certain things. But what if those are not what God intended? Remember that 40 days of God's judgment upon the world during Noah's flood, that 40 days for Noah and his family are the days in which God saves them. That is what we are experiencing in our lives today. But just like Noah, don't be afraid. Remember who is breaking the seals. It is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is in control. He's the one who breaks the seals so that this happens. Don't be afraid, because his judgment of this world is at the same time our salvation. You know, I will repeat that many, many more times. One of the four living creatures, each horse, come. Well, this come is not a command to John, but to that horse. At this command, verse 2, I look and behold a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. So the first horse, a white horse, goes out and he conquers. He who sat on the white horse, who is he? Well, there are two views. I could not decide on which, so I'll bring both views that we will accept. Well, when I say two views that I believe is okay. I mean, you know, as you know, there are many, 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 many false views out there. One, the view is that do we really need to know who he is? That's one view. Because even those people who are so interested in this person on white horse, they are not interested in any other people on different horses. For example, like red horse, nobody cares who sat on the red horse. They are only interested in this white horse and the rider of that. Well, all are the agents that God uses to bring judgment to the world. That's one view. And the second view is that it is Jesus Christ. In chapter 19, verse 11, we see the one who rides a white horse, and there it is very clearly that it is Jesus Christ who rides a white horse, because there it is very clearly say that he is called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So in chapter 19, he who rides white horse is Jesus Christ, because he is called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A crown points to the fact that he is the king. A bow, Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 9 speaks of God, your bow was made bare, the rods of chastisement were sworn. So there we could see that God, shooting arrow is God judging the world. And this is Old Testament language. If the Bible, the Old Testament is written today, I don't think it will be like this. But at the time, if you remember, 2,000 years back, and if you want to describe a mighty army, how are you going to do it? Chariots, horses, and bows, and swords. That's why we see it this way. If it was written today, we'll talk about like nuclear weapons and tanks and, fighter jets, this kind. So do not think, you don't have the, when you say like God shooting an arrow, you don't see the mightiness of that. But put yourself in the readers of at that time. Understand what I'm trying to say? So, it is a God, it is a picture of God bringing the judgment. Psalm chapter 45, 45th Psalm, verses 3 to 5, gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one. in your splendor and your majesty, and in your majesty ride on victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. Let your right hand teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp. The peoples fall under you. Your arrows are in the heart of the king's enemies. So again, the same picture here, God judging the world. So if we see him as our Lord Jesus Christ, then what we are seeing in these verses can be described as our Lord Jesus Christ through the ministry of the word of his church, furthering his kingdom. He is going out to conquer and conquering. So you see then, militant church, victorious church, and Jesus is the master, he is the Lord. Matthew chapter 24 verse 14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. But in Zechariah, the rider of the white horse needed not to be our Lord Jesus Christ. And even here, the context of all four horses and the riders does not require us to say that the rider of the white horse is our Lord Jesus Christ. They are all agents that God uses. Jesus is bringing judgment to this world, and yes, he is victorious. And whoever is the rider, one thing is for sure, that that rider is sent by him, Jesus himself. So even if we say that Jesus himself is carrying out these things, it is okay to say so. And let us move on, verse 3 and 4. When he broke the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come, and another, a red horse, went out, and to him who sat on it, it was granted to take peace from the earth, and the men would slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. Here we see that many wars will happen in this world. People will kill one another. It's judgment of God upon this world. Matthew chapter 24, verse 6 to the 7a, you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place. But that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. So when you see war going on, don't be afraid. Don't even be alarmed, because God told us that that will happen. Many, many wars. It is a part of God's judgment upon this world. And those things must happen before everything will be consummated. No, don't misunderstand. God is not commanding us to go to war. God is not commanding us to go and kill. But because of sin, because that God allows Satan to rule over this world, that these wars will happen, and God is actually the one who uses that, or who causes all that, ultimately, because it is his way of judging this world. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. But verse 8, but all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Beginning of the birth pangs. For us, it is birth pain. Because this judgment period, and after judgment period, we're completely consummated into new life. It's a birth pain. Many wars, God's judgment, Red horse and the rider was granted to take peace from the earth. So you see then, for 2,000 years, we saw many, many wars. And I don't know when Jesus will return, but until he comes, you will see more. Simple men will not obey God. Their greed for power. And they will continue to fight. But God just gives them over to their sinful desire. But that is his ultimate judgment. Just leave them alone to do what their sinful desire does. See, this rider receives the authority from God. Again, God is in control. Jesus is in control. He's the one who broke that seal. Yes, this is tribulation period, and the church of God is an active participant of this. The word slay is the same word that was used to describe Jesus Christ when he was slain upon that cross. The lamb that was slain, the same word. And chapter 6, verse 9, the souls of those who have been slain. Do you remember the church in Pergamum? Pergamum, Antipas was killed. Men would slay one another. And peace is taken away. And this conflict is revealed in so many different contexts. It is not just about nations fighting with another nations. Let me read a few verses to you. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemy will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Chapter 24, verse 9. Matthew 24, verse 9 and 10. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Mark chapter 13, verse 12 and 13. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. The peace God takes away. Oh yeah, the world is so good at describing itself in a poetical language, but it still stinks. The dead corpse, it stinketh. No matter how or what they put onto that dead corpse. Verse 5 and 6, when he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, come, I look and behold a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand, and I heard something like a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, a core of wheat for a denarius, and three cores of barley for a denarius, and do not damage the oil and the wine. The black horse and the rider has a pair of scales in his hand, and you hear a core of wheat for a denarius. One denarius, according to Matthew chapter 20 verse 2, it is one day's wage of a man. You work all day. In terms of America, only 8 hours, but in many, many areas in the other parts of the world, more than 8 hours. And one day's wage is one denarius. And core of wheat is a man, one man's food for a day. Now you work all day just to have enough to eat for that day. What does this show? Maybe a famine. It talks about that. But definitely financial difficulties. And if you look at history, there were times when people were just hungry. They didn't have food. Yeah, you know, people like us who live in the United States of America, we might not know what that really is. But even us, many, many people a long time ago experienced this kind of thing. But many parts of the world, even today, are experiencing this kind of thing. Now, the Church of God, again, is an active participant of this. Do you remember the church in Smyrna, their tribulation and their poverty? Yes, the book of Revelation describes God's people as poor in this world, but rich in heaven. Verse 6b, do not damage the oil and the wine. And again, we are able to understand this in two ways. First, the rich will always eat well and live well. Or that it is not the ultimate final judgment of God. The common grace is given. It is difficult, but who will survive? Of course. Who will not starve to death? You will have your day's food, your day's wage, and a food for a day. But general description of Christians in the book of Revelation, they're suffering and they're poor. That's why the true gospel, this world will hate. Why would you want to live like this, suffering and poor? But it's a symbol. You're outcast in this world as a Christian. But not just us, but God is judging the world so that the world will have financial difficulties. Verse 7 and 8. When the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come, I look and behold an ancient horse, and he who sat on it had the name Death. And Hades was following with him. Authority was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by the wild beast of the earth. Now you hear about, you know, diseases that could spread to so many people. And when you study the world history, you will see that these things actually happened in the past. Thousands upon thousands of people were dead because of diseases. And God is judging the world. An ancient horse or a pale horse. Asian is a color of a dead body. And the rider's name is Death. And Hades was following him. The authority was given to kill one-fourth of the earth. With sword, white horse, with famine, black horse, with pestilence, a literally death, a pale horse, and by the wild beasts of the earth. Again, picture of the judgment of God. Ezekiel chapter, well, since we don't have much time, go home and read if you want to. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 12 through 21. There we see the destruction of Jerusalem, but that points to the destruction of the world. And because of their sin, God says, I will destroy the Jerusalem, but that is symbol of God destroying the world. But there in Ezekiel 14 verse 21, we see that God will destroy Jerusalem with famine, sore, wild beast, and plague, death. And there, even the righteous will participate. Again, through sore, famine, plague, and wild beast, many will die. A judgment of God. But not the final judgment of God. So what is going on? For 2,000 years, God is judging this world. But at the same time, God is saving His people. The judgment of God is the salvation of His people, Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Of course, they are talking about non-Christians who are storing up on their head the judgment of God. But God pours out His grace, even as He judges the world. When you see God judging the world with Christian heart, what do you see? God is actually patient. Because I say this all the time, if I am God, I'll probably destroy this world long time ago. He's not bringing the final judgment, not yet. He's patient. You see, rather, the grace of God. And that would make you repent of your sin, rather than saying some stupid things. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8, although He was a son, Jesus Christ, He learned obedience from the things which He suffered. So even Jesus Christ is described as a person who learned, but through His sufferings. So even as you live in this period, and when God is judging the world, so that you would suffer because of that, but that through that suffering for you, it is actually God's grace to save you, to give you the knowledge of the truth. Yes, you and I do participate in these events in the world, but for us, it is God's grace. Yes, God will use sufferings and tribulation and death. God will cleanse you, and He will cleanse me. He will guide you and me to repentance of our sins. When you see those things, you know God is judging the world. Why? Because of sin. So it will cause you to repent. You see what is God's true response of sin. And yet, He poured out His grace upon me. He's not dealing with me as if I'm a sinner who deserves to die in hell forever because of Jesus Christ, so it will cause me to repent. Do you see it? Even as God judges the world, He actually, through that judgment, He saves His people. And that is what is going on even now. And through death, yes, you will die. He gathers His people to His kingdom. He saves you. For you and for me, they are not judgment, but God's grace to us. So He will set the time when we go home. But until then, even those judgments, it will cause us to repent of our sins. And when we truly, finally die, then it is perfect salvation then on. Matthew 24 verse 3 says, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things happen and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So they're all interested in when. Just like you and me. We're sitting here interested in when. Acts chapter 1 verse 6. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom of Israel? When? But when is not the issue, brothers and sisters. Why is all this thing happening? For what purpose? What is the meaning of what is happening in the world right now? Our victorious King is judging the world. They are a preview of the final judgment that He will bring to the world. But for us, these events are grace of God. They will cause us to repent of our sins. They will cause us to endure with joy. They will cause us to preach His gospel to the ends of the world. They will cause us to be awake. They will cause us to forsake this world, hate this world, because you know this world is going to be destroyed. They will cause us to hope in Jesus Christ, to hope in heaven. They will cause us to love Jesus Christ and His kingdom which He has accomplished for us. God's judgment of the world, as you experience, as you see, those judgments will cause you to be closer to God if you are truly Christians. That is what God is doing. He's saving you. He's saving His people. Yes, even as you see God judging the world, you tell yourself, God is saving us. We are being saved by God. And in Acts chapter 1, to the question when, Jesus' answer is, be my witnesses. You know, they're all interested about when. Jesus says, go to the ends of the world, be my witnesses. The issue is not about when, it's about being His witnesses, being His martyrs. Be faithful to Him until death, whenever that might be. For the kingdom of God is ours. Don't be afraid. Only thing that is really happening, even as I get hurt, even as I get killed, I'm being saved. And the world is being judged. But world will never know that. They will never understand it. That's why when we see more seals being broken, more trumpets and bowls, Bible even says, even still, they would not repent. That's the response of the world. Even as God is judging the world, and it's just a taste, it's not ultimate judgment, it's actually showing them incentive or showing that the motivation for repentance and come to God, but they will not repent. But you do. You understand what is happening. You understand what is really going on. Man, our victorious king. He is truly victorious. And he rules even now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are victorious and you are carrying out your plan, the plan of judgment and salvation. Oh Father, we pray that you would give us the knowledge. Let us know the truth. Let us truly know and understand what is really going on, so that we may give proper response to you, proper responses to what you are doing and what you are accomplishing. Oh Father, we give you all the glory, all the honor. Truly, you are an awesome God. We thank you that even as you judging this world, you are saving us, saving your people, so that we may be with you forever and ever. Oh, come quickly, Lord. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.